Could there be some who are exploiting a crisis for their own gain?
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. We are presenting part two today of our two-part series with Michelle Bachman. Clearly, we are in perilous times, perhaps more dangerous than in modern memory. But we assure you, God has things under control. He cares for you, but He is warning the church, as well as the unbelieving world, that time may be running out. Here is Jan Markell.
But how far can the coronavirus spread, and how many people can actually get infected?
Is it spreading very rapidly because some countries are having trouble containing it? In countries where the response hasn't been as quick, they've really paid the price. So you see that in Italy, where the spread is really, it spreads very quickly and in a very widespread way.
The lack of initial symptoms is playing a big role in the spread of the virus.
I think the problem is that there are people that have no symptoms or minimal symptoms that are transmitting it to other people.
Epidemiology professor Mark Lipsitch at Harvard University made headlines after he projected that 40 to 70% of the world's adult population could be affected by COVID-19.
It's a projection, so we will find out if it's accurate as things go on.
And welcome to the program, part two of my two-part series with former U.S. House of Representatives member Michelle Bachman. She represented Minnesota's 6th District in the U.S. Congress from 2007 to 2015. She ran for President of the United States in 2012. We'll talk more about what she's doing presently a little bit later, but let me just say that last week, part one, and you can access part one if you missed it, various places. You can get it on my website, olivetreeviews.org. You can get it at hischannel.com. You can get it on our YouTube channel, Jan Markell, Olive Tree Ministries. You can get it various places, oneplace.com, podcast. I encourage you to access part one as we build here part two on part one, because we talked about so much last week. And Michelle, who is a bit quarantined, and I'm a bit under the weather, we still have made every effort to bring these two programs to you. Michelle, thank you for coming back again this week. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you. This is probably the most important topic, I believe, that you and I have ever discussed.
Oh,
thank you for this opportunity.
There are some areas we still want to cover, and we can hit a lot in an hour. And I certainly want to reference the fact, and we can expand on it just a little bit later, that the New York Times actually blamed evangelical Christians for the coronavirus. Writer Catherine Stewart claims Republicans are likely to deny science, and she went on, "The road to coronavirus hell was paved by evangelicals." We'll talk about that a little bit later, because I think it's an important story, and we hear and read a lot about end-time persecution coming to America as well. A little bit off air, Michelle, you and I talked about a number of topics. We have a lot to hit on yet. That's why we need two programs. We do have an election not all that far away, early November 2020. We talked a little bit in our last program about the globalist agenda. I think we hit that pretty heavily. Again, folks, try to access it if you can, because the globalists certainly are waiting for a crisis. They're going to pounce in a crisis. Might they pounce now? Certainly could. So let's just look at for a few minutes, Michelle. It's an important topic. Campaign 2020, election 2020. We're talking a little bit off air about, I think we're kind of down to Joe Biden here as the candidate. I think that's pretty obvious. Is he going to be the perfect puppet here as the election season gears up and then winds down in the fall? And I'd like your perspective. You served in Congress. You ran for president of the United States in 2012, and you feel that he perhaps is the perfect puppet. Talk to me a little bit about that.
The presidential election year is being felt in a lot of different ways, and in many ways, this is a perfect scenario for Joe Biden. He is not the Democrat nominee. The Democrats haven't had their final primary. They haven't made their decision as to who their nominee is, and yet the media has decided that Joe Biden is the nominee, the others having dropped out at this point. But Joe Biden has kind of a perfect life. He can live at home. No presidential candidate can ever do that. It's been a long time since we've had front porch presidential campaigns, but he can stay home and then he can read off of a teleprompter a speech written by his staff for 5 minutes every day. He's had a hard time even with that. reading already prepared speeches. He appears to be, and this is coming from the mouths of Democrats, fumbling, stumbling, not coherent. Very few people are watching him when he's having his daily presentations. I'm not sure that Joe Biden will be their nominee, actually, even though he's the presumptive nominee for the Democrat Party. Let's say that he is the nominee. Let's say he wins in the first Tuesday of November. It is my opinion Joe Biden will not be the acting president in the sense that we think of a president. He'll be a figurehead, and this will become Barack Obama's third term. The entire Obama team will be on board with their fellow travelers, and they will be running the country. So in effect, the country will be run by a team, Team Obama. I don't believe that the big decisions will actually be made by Joe Biden. There are a lot of nefarious influences in the Obama administration. You and I talked about them on air, whether it is coming from Muslim Brotherhood types or from communist types. There were influences that were not strictly pro-American influences in that administration. We would see that resurgence under a Biden presidency, and we would see the immediate advance toward globalism. But I don't think ultimately he will be their nominee, and I think the Democrats will choose someone else because I think they see that if Joe Biden is their nominee, he's a certain path to defeat for the Democrat Party.
Okay. Let's just talk about a couple of options right now. Everyone's talking about Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York. That's certainly a possibility. I think you think he's not going to be very successful, but it's hard to say because we're going through a crisis, and obviously crises make people look through a little bit different lens. You also referenced to me the more likely possibility of Michelle Obama. I think you need to explain why you're even thinking that way.
Andrew Cuomo has had a lot of airtime lately because of the coronavirus pandemic. So people are saying, look, this is a guy who can string a couple sentences together and sound coherent. Maybe he should be our nominee. Whoever is going to be the nominee, that's a big lift for that person. I'm not so sure that he would do well against Donald Trump. I think someone who has high favorability, whom people on the Democrat Party admire and revere, would be someone like a Michelle Obama. They see her connected with politics through her husband, though she's never had any kind of a political background herself. And I think she would be someone warm and fuzzy that Democrats would resonate to. I don't think personally she wants to be the nominee, but I think Democrats see that just because of her name, who she is, her visibility, she would be someone who could stand at a podium across for Donald Trump. And I think they'd like to see something like that. It would be a tough persuasion with her. She has never been tested on the national stage. It would be a big gamble on their part, but I think that they would finally have some enthusiasm on their ticket where they have zero enthusiasm today.
You don't think Hillary Clinton will resurface to run again?
I don't think so because her own party is disavowing her. They don't like Hillary Clinton. They don't like Bill Clinton anymore. I think Democrats would prefer that Clinton Family Inc. would just go silent for a while. Surely Hillary would love that job, but I just don't think the Democrat convention is going to give her the nomination.
If you just join me, we're doing part two with Michelle Bachmann on the current crisis, not just in America, but around the world, the pandemic that has upset the entire globe. I think there are three or four nations, perhaps a half dozen, that this illness has not hit yet. A couple of them are in Africa. Few other places. Otherwise, every nation is reeling. If you don't understand that that is exactly what some people have been waiting for, they're waiting for a crisis. At least this kind of a crisis has come along. But you know, Michelle, there is a bright side because there actually are some medications. And I think what everyone is talking about, the hydroxychloroquine is the most promising. There actually are a couple of governors who are saying, no, people can't take it. This is just shocking. They're progressive governors. They seem to be cheering for death. It's hard to imagine that possibly could stop this pandemic. And I think that this is one of the bright spots in this pandemic is that we talked about Israel last week and some of the things that they're trying to do on behalf of the free world, on behalf of America. We can reference that again. Talk to me about some of these governors who are standing in the way of life.
Well, it is bizarre. These are some of the most demonstrably incompetent, selfish people. The governor of Nevada, for instance, issued an executive order prohibiting doctors from prescribing hydroxychloroquine as an option for patients. Now, why would you do that when a Jewish doctor in New York State did his own trial with 350 people who tested positive for coronavirus who were in the hospital, and all 350 recovered, also a French doctor. He did his own trial of 80 people who were hospitalized. He gave them the same drug. 79 out of 80 recovered. This is remarkable what's coming forward. In Israel, the company known as Teva, they have been a pioneer in dealing with this drug. They sent as a gift to the United States of America 6 million doses, and they're sending an additional 10 million by the end of the month, fulfilling again Israel being a blessing to the nations. Whether it is just this drug alone, which is an anti-malarial drug, or whether it is utilized in conjunction with Z-Pak, it's a drug that's used to treat and cure pneumonia, this is an option. I think what President Trump is saying, let's put every possible measure on the table. He had successfully passed, after 45 years of trying, the right to try, so that when people are terminal, they have no other options, they can try drugs that haven't gone through the rigid FDA drug approval process. Now, these two drugs that we've referenced, Z-Pak and hydroxychloroquine, those have been approved for other purposes. Coronavirus is new in our way of thinking. It's been around in other forms, but here in America, it's new. To not let people or doctors try this, to me, is criminal. President Trump is on the side of life, and he wants to allow people to have this right to try. And I actually think we've seen remarkable results so far. We need to continue. To me, it is criminal that this Governor Whitmer from Michigan is saying that pharmacists and doctors should turn in any doctor that wants to prescribe this. That is ridiculous for her to say that. You would put your own people at risk because you want to make President Trump look bad?
Again, it's the politics of death, folks. That's
politics of death, but exactly what we're seeing. It's stunning. In the worst health crisis that we've had to deal with,
a global pandemic, and yet they're putting politics first.
Right.
Michelle, I want to approach a little bit different topic here, yet it's quite actually tied to what we've been talking about. It's a place I don't like going to. I really don't. It's probably a topic that's inevitable because we're seeing, as I speak, sort of soft martial law. Right now, as we're recording this program, we don't have tanks going down the main streets of Los Angeles or New York City. Could we? It's possible. I think we've got some early stages of martial law, and you would agree with me.
Yes, we absolutely have early stages. The president had to invoke for the first time the Defense Production Act. He had to order General Motors, because he was having some trouble with them, to turn over a plant so that we could manufacture ventilators. He thought he had a deal, and then they reneged on that deal, and so he had to utilize the mandate of the federal government. While we've been recording, Jan, an article came up from the Washington Post saying the president is considering a quarantine on New York, parts of New Jersey, and Connecticut. As this contagion expands and continues, this is a math problem. Once this gets out of control, more people are impacted, overwhelming the healthcare system and our economy. The president may need to step in and act in a way that's unprecedented to keep people at home. Again, we don't know 2 weeks from now where the country is going to be at. That's how fast this is changing.
Yeah.
You look at your phone. Every 5 minutes, there's a new story that you just can't believe.
Yeah, it takes your breath away.
Every 10 minutes. That's why, to me, I don't understand why politicians wouldn't put their pet projects aside. There's only one issue right now. Solve this pandemic and get the economy back on track, because that is going to hurt people. We want to help people. So let's act as one. That's exactly what you would do right now. If you're a politician, act as one, not selfish. And the same goes for our media, who should be ashamed.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, people are going to say this is a terrible thing for me to say. They should be horsewhipped. That's what we would have said decades ago. I don't mean that actually and to promote violence, but this is absolutely unprofessional conduct, the way our media has been acting. It's almost like they're cheering on the defeat of the U.S. economy, cheering on death. When you talked about the politics of death, this is something that we have to end right now and slam the door on it. We need to be about the people of America and the people of this world, so that their health is returned and our economies are returned. We are the economic and military powerhouse of the world. We've been a force for good when we've been in that position. If the United States collapses economically, we cannot help the rest of the world with their problems. If China becomes the dominant power in the world, we know exactly the kind of nation this communist nation would be. They use their facial recognition and surveillance to surveil their people. We know how they persecute Christians. We would have a very different world if the United States collapses. So this is no game that we're playing. The media needs to get on board with America right now, and the same with the politicians.
Moving on to just a little bit different topic, I did give a tease here a few minutes ago. You just referenced the media, Michelle. And by the way, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Mark Hill here. Have on the line, we're both in the Twin Cities, Michelle Bachmann. She served in Congress 2007 to 2015, ran for president in 2012. I have her usually in studio a couple times a year. She's literally been traveling the world. Little did anybody think, and she was ministering in Australia, that, well, the world would spin out of control as it has in the last couple of months. But I gave a little tease a few minutes ago, Michelle, and I'm going back to it because I think we need to talk about it. And I'm going to play a clip here in just a minute as well. A reference to New York Times blaming evangelical Christians for the coronavirus. Now, folks, that may sound stunning to you. Well, it is. Why should you think that evangelicals would be immune from this kind of ridicule? We have been for almost forever, but particularly since evangelicals so overwhelmingly voted for Donald Trump in 2016. We all have a target on our backs right now because of that. I'll just read a paragraph from the article. It says, Catherine Stewart, who claims Republicans more than Democrats are likely to deny science, she wrote an article, its headline, The Road to Coronavirus Hell, was paved by evangelicals. And then she writes, Donald Trump rose to power with the determined assistance of a movement that denies science, bashes government, and prioritized loyalty over professional expertise. In the current crisis, we are all reaping what that movement has sown. At least since the 19th century, when the pro-slavery theologian Robert Dabney attacked the physical sciences as theories of unbelief, hostility to science has characterized the more extreme forms of religious nationalism in the United States. Basically, she's calling evangelicals religious nationalists. And then she says, by all accounts, President Trump's tendency to trust his gut over the experts on issues like vaccines and climate change does not come from any deep-seated religious conviction, but she adds, but he is perfectly in tune with the religious nationalists who form the core of his base. Let me just play a real quick soundbite. It's going to be Governor Mike Huckabee talking to Martha McCallum on Fox News.
The road to coronavirus hell was paved by evangelicals. That, according to the New York Times op-ed, claiming this, Trump's response to the pandemic has been haunted by the science denialism of his ultra-conservative religious allies, she writes, which brought on strong rebuke from Fox News contributor Byron York on Twitter, who wrote this, in times like these, it's important not to lose your reason and judgment, especially if you run one of the nation's most prominent opinion pages. Joining me now, Mike Huckabee, former Arkansas governor, and Fox News contributor, and Jonathan Morris, Fox News religion analyst. Great to have both of you with us. Governor Huckabee, this editorial is really something. I mean, at one point, she calls the president, says he's a science denier. Then she goes after religious nationalism and points fingers at Alex Azar and Ben Carson for their pro-life stance, so that obviously the president is being influenced by these individuals, which she thinks is just some sort of dramatic mistake.
I hope she is right about one thing. I hope the president is being influenced by wonderful people like Alex Azar and Ben Carson, two professionals, medical scientists who happen to believe in the science of life. I wish these folks at the New York Times believed in biology. They would understand that at the moment of conception, a human life is formed. They don't believe that. That's science denial. Clear and simple, pure and plain. The New York Times has risen to a new level of disgracing itself. There's almost 400,000 churches in the United States, Martha, and she points to two or three that continue to have service as if somehow that just proves that evangelicals don't like science.
Michelle, did you ever think you'd see the day?
by the New York Times, yeah. no less. And we discussed earlier, there's another similar piece that was published in the Washington Post.
Yes.
These people are absolutely out of their mind. That's what this shows. Because despite all of their best efforts to bring down Donald Trump, they haven't been able to do it. So what do? They're going after us. They hate us more than anything because of the values that we hold and the things that they love. And they hate our values. They hate the things that we love. They have a myth that if you're a Christian, you're anti-science. And yet, she's demonstrating her ignorance because if you look at the history of science, some of the greatest innovations and breakthroughs have come from believers. Sir Isaac Newton, strong believer. Sir Francis Bacon, strong believer. Blaise Pascal. If you look at the history of science, it is people who believed in the God of the Bible, whether Jew or Christian, who God has given wisdom and understanding to come with great medical breakthroughs. They don't know that. They don't care. In their mind, they've decided that Christians are backwards, unscientific
right.
people, and it's simply not true.
It's just so stunning in our face. I guess that's what I never thought I'd live to see the day, that it would be absolutely in our face. The hatred is palpable. I get that. I do get that. Still, we've got some other issues here that I want to get to. How are some other countries coping?
Other countries have resorted to martial law. We had mentioned that before with South Africa. I was scheduled to be in South Africa. Thankfully, I didn't go. Another colleague from Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, as we speak, is under martial law and is not allowed to leave the country. All flights are immediately stopped. So you have martial law in various countries. South Africa has the highest level of outbreak in Africa. Canada has also closed its borders. Isn't that interesting? All of these countries that mock the United States and Donald Trump for closing borders, they're finding, gee, maybe we better close borders to people who come in. That's what's been happening. We're literally seeing over a billion people in quarantine so that this does not transfer to other nations. And that's what we need to do. That's why I think one of the greatest things that happened was Donald Trump on January 31st said no more Chinese can come into the United States, and he prohibited those flights. That saved us when he did that. Other countries are taking those measures, like the United Kingdom, where their prime minister and Prince Charles both tested positive for COVID-19. We're seeing a great expansion, and what we have to do is keep the expansion from happening, then address it with the possible drug options that there are out here. We will have a vaccine a year from now. It'll happen. The other thing people need to know, Jan, you and I spoke about this. The way of the spread of disease, the normal spread, is that you'll see a disease, and then people who survive it, they take the blood plasma from those people. They'll infuse it with other people who have the disease. We built up immunities in our system. We build up responses. That's the problem with coronavirus. There was no known cure or vaccine. Well, now that is in the process of being developed. This will, in all likelihood, come back this fall. We shouldn't be shocked about that. We should have better treatments available by then, so we will be able to address it. We can't just shut down an economy again. We have had to raid the wealth of the United States in the current shutdown that we're going through. Once you spend a dollar, you can't go back and re-spend a dollar twice. For instance, if you steal all of Bill Gates' fortune, you can't go back and steal it a second time. Once money's gone, it's gone. We have got to find the cure for this. We also have to be able to continue the society going. People need to be forewarned. We'll probably see another bout of this in the fall, and we'll have hopefully tools to address it.
Apparently, the mystery in Wuhan, recovered coronavirus patients test negative, then positive. A spate of mysterious second-time infections is calling into question the accuracy of COVID-19 diagnostic tools, even as China prepares to lift quarantine measures to allow residents to leave the epicenter of its outbreak next month. It's also raising concerns of a possible second wave of cases, about 5% to 10% of patients pronounced recovered have tested positive again. I think, Michelle, the worst is probably yet to come, but then things will even out and get better.
Yeah, they will even out and get better. And remember, China has been a liar from the word go, and they continue to be a liar. They sent out lousy test kits all around the world. Remember, they're responsible for this virus. We have to hold China accountable. Right. They shouldn't benefit off this thing. They started it, whether it was accidental or intentional. I could certainly be persuaded that this was an intentional act. I'm not saying it. I don't have inside information, but it very well could be. This has spread across the world, and yes, it will reinfect again. They sent lousy test kits. So it could be that any testing they did do, and I believe a lot of their own people, they never even tested, because 80% of the country is in rural areas living in abject poverty. In China, there virtually are no human rights in China. We can't trust them. They still haven't given us the information. That's according to our Secretary of State, who has also called out China because they haven't done what they have said they were going to do. I'd also like to say about Iran that they've been heavily impacted by COVID-19, and there have been calls by MoveOn.org and other George Soros-type organizations that the United States should lift our very effective maximum sanctions that we have on the greatest chief state of terrorism in the world, Iran, that we should lift those sanctions and infuse them with money. Well, I just want your listeners to understand, I was on a conference call with organizations who had said that the Ayatollah, the head of Iran, the religious leader, he himself personally has $200 billion for himself. He could well use that money to benefit the people of Iran, and they have escrowed a fabulous amount of money in China. They've got money to address this problem, plus the United States, we're the greatest country in the world, the most generous. We've given billions of dollars in humanitarian assistance and medical assistance already to Iran. That hasn't happened. Despite them being a terrorist state, we've given them humanitarian assistance. We also know, according to our Secretary of State here in America, that the leader took $1 billion of what we sent and has used it in other ways. They have continued to advance terrorism, to run their centrifuges, to build their nuclear program. They fly planes into Lebanon to continue the terrorism through Hezbollah and Lebanon. Even as we speak, they're continuing terrorism. Under no circumstances should we lift any sanctions against Iran, nor should we be helping the Hezbollah-controlled government in Lebanon. If I could just say about Lebanon.
Michelle, let's pick that up on the other side of my break. I really want to go there, but I've got to take my midpoint of the program break. Folks, coming back just a minute or two. Don't go away.
Thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries with helping you understand the issues of the day from a biblical perspective. We love friendly feedback. Write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get mail by writing to us at Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. More with Jan and Michelle in a moment. We are now shipping the new Ingenuity Films DVD, Before the Wrath. This is a docudrama on the rapture of the church, centered on a Jewish wedding in Galilee. It is written and produced by Brent Miller Jr. and features commentary by Pastor J.D. Farag, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, Jan Markell, and others. It is narrated by Kevin Sorbo and features 60 actors. Why has the church dropped the important message that the King is coming, when it is, as the Bible says, our blessed hope? As our times get more difficult and days are filled with uncertainty, here is a biblical theme that consumes almost 30% of the Bible. How tragic that most churches have set aside this glorious news that Jesus Christ promises to remove His bride, His church, in the rapture, prior to what is known as the tribulation. We offer the DVD for just $20 plus $6 shipping in the U.S. Visit our online store at olivetreeviews.org, that's olivetreeviews.org, or call our office at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. The DVD is also offered in our print and e-newsletters. Sign up on our website.
This is the most exciting time to be alive, the most exciting time to witness, the most needful time to have a relationship with the living God of the Bible and to share His truth and His promises, because He's made a way of escape for every person by His love.
You can always listen to this program at your leisure on our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or on our YouTube channel. You can download the OnePlace.com mobile app or listen anytime at hischannel.com. Jan Markell and Michelle Bachman wrap up our two-part series next.
This aid package, it's too bad we even need this aid package. When we were talking a month ago, the economy is flying so high. We had the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years and high growth. And here we are now in the midst of this crisis. And, you know, President Trump said it very well, I think, the other night when he said that he is a wartime president. He is a wartime president. And the way he put it is, we're fighting a war against an invisible enemy, and that enemy is this virus. The Congress is now moving forward with this aid package. And by the way, Pat, it's 1,400 pages long and getting longer every day. I do support providing some short-term relief for workers because, after all, it's the government that shut down the businesses by government order. So it's appropriate to provide the aid that people need in the short term to get through this. And then, of course, businesses. We have 26 million small businesses in this country, Pat. 26 million. Those are the backbone of the American economy, those men and women who we just heard from on your package, who will make the economy work. They are struggling mightily. Many of them have no revenues now for 3 or 4 weeks. Revenues for a business are the oxygen that keep it alive. So there is a package that would provide loans. I want to be very clear about this, Pat. This is not a bailout. It's not a big giveaway. It's a loan program so that businesses that are healthy businesses can get a loan from the government to get through this next 6 months. They will repay that money. And we need that, Pat, because we want these businesses to be able to hit the ground running as soon as we've stabilized the coronavirus. But I've got to say one other thing about this package. It just disgusts me that the Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are trying to turn this into a Christmas tree. And they're putting all of these completely absurd items into that. They're putting in these global warming climate change things. They want bailouts for union pension plans. They want permanent leave. Those are things that maybe need to be debated, but we got to get this aid out yesterday. It's a scandal that it's taken so long to get this money to the businesses and the workers that need it.
I encourage you to hear part one of our programming where we talked about the politicization of this crisis. And the left has certainly done that in the last many weeks. The package was passed a couple of weeks ago now. Hopefully, there's going to be some relief in sight. Been spending the last 2 weeks, last week and this week, with Michelle Bachman. She represented Minnesota's 6th District from 2007 to 2015. Generally, we meet in studio, as we both are in the Twin Cities. For obvious reasons, we're apart for these two particular programs. I've got her on the telephone. I want to get back to some of the issues that we have left in the remaining half hour of our programming. Michelle, thank you again for giving up time, 2 weeks, in fact, to discuss these issues. We are at such a time in history that you and I have said often we never thought we'd be talking about the things we're talking about here. Incredible times, amazing times, actually all foretold by all the writers of the Bible.
That's right. And here we are on Easter weekend, the resurrection weekend. Many of us aren't even able to be with our families on Easter or at Passover. So this is something that a month, 6 weeks ago, every possible level, we were riding high. And now we're seeing a very different place in America. It is a time to look for truth and a time to look back to the Word of God, of the reality that the Scripture speaks about of times that are coming. And this feels like a foreshadowing of those times.
Yes, the Bible outlines a time known as the tribulation, the great tribulation. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. The church escapes the tribulation, but tribulation events cast a shadow on the church age. That's what's happening as we speak. All sorts of things, from earthquakes to natural disasters. Oh my goodness, the decline of society. You can read about it throughout 2 Timothy 3. Perilous times, the rise of perilous times. They don't get much more perilous than what's going on now, and they may get worse here before they get better. Probably will, but we still are optimistic. Also, I'm optimistic that a trumpet's going to blow any day. We could say more about that as we go out of the program. Michelle, we were talking a little bit about some foreign policy issues, and you reminded us that there's actually martial law breaking out in other countries, certainly as we speak in South Africa. We talked a little bit about soft martial law going on, even in America. Other countries are clamping down. My goodness, streets are empty. Hopefully that's going to turn around here in the coming weeks. We just don't know. You started saying something about what's going on in Lebanon. I need you to finish that thought because my halfway break in the program hit.
The reason for that is because as we look at the Bible is also a story of history. We know that God created a perfect earth, there was sin in the world, and God set in motion a plan of redemption. The Easter story is the resurrection, the greatest hope on earth. Hope is an amazing gift. That's what this weekend is. It's the story of hope through resurrection and through redemption. Israel is the nation and the people, the land that is used to bless all the nations on earth. What happens to Israel, you have said so many times, Israel is the hourglass. Jerusalem is the second hand. And that tells us the time clock of where we're at. This has been one of the most unusual times ever politically for Israel. In Israel's over 70 years of existence, this is the very first time that Israel has had an election and the leaders could not form a government. They couldn't put a coalition together for a government. It didn't just happen once or twice. It's happened three times. The most recent event is that the Blue and White Party, which was attempting to put together a coalition and couldn't, it appears they're breaking up and they may join with the Likud Party, which is Benjamin Netanyahu's party, and may form some sort of an agreement. Israel has been in a state of flux for months and months. This has never happened. But God's strong right arm has kept Israel safe in this time. But what's happening in their backyard? Iran hasn't taken a break as the chief state sponsor of terrorism. They love to use proxies to go and commit more acts of terrorism around the world, chiefly against Israel. We know that at the very end of time, there will be a huge war that happens. Israel will be the object of that war. Now, isn't it interesting that the countries that are being involved in this are ancient Persia, Syria, and also Lebanon? Right now in Iran, there's a crisis of the coronavirus, a crisis with their economics, but they still demonically are focused on advancing terrorism for the purpose of the destruction of the Jewish people and the Jewish state. If you look at Lebanon, Lebanon is actually a country, but they are being run through Iran, which they're using Hezbollah, which is a non-state actor. What does that mean? Lebanon has been in an economic crisis of their own since October of 2019. They're in a huge mess. They owe 4.6 billion in euro bonds that they can't pay. They have lived off of Lebanese that live around the world and send money back, and they've lived off of narco-terrorism, terrorists who sell narcotics. That's all now not coming in. They're about to disintegrate. The big project that Iran had was to take the 150,000 missiles that are currently in southern Lebanon. They're dumb missiles. In other words, you fire them and they just shoot somewhere. So that Israel has the Iron Dome. Yes. They can defeat those missiles. Iran has been spending $15,000 per missile in a precision-guided munition to turn those from dumb to smart bombs. That's important because Iran's goal would be to take out the nuclear reactor at Dimona in Israel and take out the chemical plants in Haifa. If they take that out with missiles, that buys time for Iran to get their nuclear program up and they could drop a nuclear bomb. This is happening right now. This has never happened before, these dynamics. That's not to put fear inside of us. It's to inform the U.S. government we have to continue the maximum pressure campaign that has been so effective. We could potentially see the Iranian regime fall, or we could essentially see a regime fall in Lebanon. It's important that believers understand where we're at in this time clock. That's the conversions of events that are happening, where we're looking at potential economic global collapse together with, at the same time, bad actors trying to take out Israel. This is the kind of dynamic that we're dealing with, and that's why it's so important that the church, pastors, teach their congregation about the day we live in. This isn't just any day. This is a specific day that was written about in the scriptures by Daniel and the ancient prophets. Right. They longed to live in the day that we live in today. So this is the most exciting time to be alive, the most exciting time to witness, the most needful time to have a relationship with the living God of the Bible and to share His truth and His promises, because He's made a way of escape for every person by His love. And that's demonstrated today on Resurrection Day, when God won the battle for all of mankind through Him coming to earth, living a perfect life, sacrificing Himself on the cross, dying for our sins, and then coming back to life again. Jesus Christ, the first one resurrected, and that's the pattern for every one of us. We too can be born again, resurrected for all time, living with the Creator God who made us in all of eternity in His loving presence.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here. It's the familiar voice of Michelle Bachman. And I asked her to come in and do a couple of programs. The world in an upside-down format right now. God allows these things to happen for a reason. He doesn't just pour out His wrath because He's an angry God, though He's got a lot of things to be angry about. Actually, Michelle, I'm going to use that as a little transition here. You were present back in late January in Washington at the White House when, if I can use this overused term, the deal of the century was rolled out. And I know your heart was very heavy that day. You were sitting in the room as it was being announced. Even Prime Minister Netanyahu, actually another candidate for that position, Benny Gantz, was there. Both of them were there. Netanyahu was very overjoyed at this so-called deal of a century. I use that term because that's what it's called. I think it's a silly term. You were sitting there. Your heart was heavy. Tell me what your thoughts were at the time.
Number one, I was highly honored to be invited to be present for the unveiling of the peace plan, because you and I had had a conversation, and I had said to you that I believe that President Trump, because he has been the most pro-Israel president to bless the Jewish state, that in all likelihood he would be reelected president of the United States, with the caveat, God is no respecter of persons. He is not partial. If the President of the United States does something negative toward Israel, the Bible is very specific. If any nation seeks to divide the land or touch Jerusalem, it doesn't go well for that nation or for the political leader. And I was very concerned about that.
You said on this program, it was a year ago, almost to the day, that if anything could defeat President Trump in 2020, it would be his mishandling of the situation in Israel borders, Palestinian state, divide Jerusalem, any of those issues. Now, having said that, at the same time, you and I are quick to acknowledge he's certainly been the most pro-Israel president in Israel's short 72-year history.
And I believe that that is his heart, and that is his mind, and that is his intention. He has, on every possible measure, advanced the interests of the United States by advancing the interests of the Jewish people and the Jewish state. It isn't even close on every possible measure. Behind the scenes, I had prayed and I had asked the Lord for various opportunities. He supernaturally opened the door for me to meet privately with some of the highest placed people within our government, to give them a copy of Bill Koenig's book, Eye to Eye, and also just to share with them what the Bible says, that nations are impacted and the way that they treat Israel and the Jewish people. And so I had not only opportunities to go around the world and meet with various world leaders on this topic to share what the Bible says, but also here in our current administration as well. I was thankful that God opened that door. When I heard the peace plan that day, because no one knew what the contents were prior to being in the room, there was maybe 180 of us in the room for this unveiling. Secretary of State Pompeo was in the front row. Alan Dershowitz and his wife were right in front of me, and then I was in the row right behind them. I couldn't believe where I was. I was looking right at the face of the president, right at the face of Prime Minister Netanyahu in the East Room, the largest room in the White House. The best part of the plan was the fact that Donald Trump recognized Israel's sovereignty over every inch of the land. In other words, this is Israel's land, all of it. That is not a two-state solution when Israel has 100% sovereignty. That's an excellent thing. But I was concerned when I heard that if the Palestinian Authority would be in compliance with all the terms of the agreement, they would effectively have the right to have a Palestinian state in the heart of the biblical covenant land in Judea and Samaria. And they would also have the right to a capital in East Jerusalem. That was troubling for me to hear. Even before it was revealed to the world, that plan was disavowed by Abbas, the head of the Palestinian Authority, and primarily the Arab League. There's 57 Arab nations. They all threw this plan under the bus. They're having nothing to do with it. They're trampling on it. I wanted the administration, I was hoping they wouldn't reveal any plan of any type, just leave it alone and have the United States ourselves be as positive in blessing the Jewish state and the Jewish people as we possibly could be. Donald Trump has fulfilled that. And then some. This plan troubled me. The plan will go nowhere. It is dead. But I was very concerned. And our mutual friend Bill Koenig, who wrote Eye to Eye, he was also in the room that day as a reporter because he's been, I think, the longest serving evangelical Christian in the White House press pool serving. He said within an hour, there was a 7.7 earthquake just off of Jamaica. It didn't cause economic damage, but it was felt all the way to Miami. And I thought maybe that'll just be a warning sign because we cannot divide the land. I do believe President Trump is blessed. I think that our nation is blessed because of the way that our nation has blessed Israel and the Jewish people in accordance with what the book of Genesis says. Yes. I believe that it happened. But I believe we can't take lightly the admonition of dividing the land and dividing Jerusalem. There is a division of opinion among evangelicals, I think, regarding this peace plan. Most people really don't care because they know it's not going to go anywhere. But I think we always need to be very sober about what the scripture tells us about Israel. Because after God, Israel is the next character in the Bible, the number two character. And God's plan for humanity goes through Israel and the Jewish people for redemption. And we need to understand, and they're also key on end-time prophetic events.
Absolutely.
So we need to understand the scripture, and we need to make sure that our nation has a proper posture toward Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jewish people.
Well, as a timeline, Bill actually emailed to me January 27th, President Trump met with Gantz and Netanyahu. Those are the two men running for the head of Israel, who are, as we speak, meeting in a bunker somewhere in Israel because of the conditions, meaning the virus. January 28th, peace plan introduced in the White House. You were there, Michelle. Netanyahu said he expressed an eternal debt of gratitude for the plan. I think we need to really clarify that Israeli leaders are all in favor of the so-called deal of a century. Again, I think it's a terrible title, but that's what it's called. That's why I'm using it. The Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, said he's eternally a debt of gratitude for this peace plan.
And Jan, if I could intervene, yeah. I think the reason why is because for the very first time, an American president acknowledged that Israel has 100% sovereignty over every square inch of land. After that meeting happened in the East Room with the presentation, I was invited to a private briefing for about an hour with our ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, whom I love. I've never seen a man who's more conversant with what the Bible says, more smart. He is trying to do everything he can so that the United States has a wonderful relationship of blessing with the Jewish people. And he was explaining about various parts of this plan. The plan isn't going to go anywhere. It is dead.
Right.
And I think that's where it needs to stay. Don't touch it, because my concerns with the plan is on the potential of dividing Israel, the covenant land God gave to the Jewish people for his eternal purposes. Also, the idea of dividing Jerusalem. The scripture is very clear. Jerusalem is an undivided city. The view of the United Nations was that Jerusalem is an international city. That is not God's view. God's view is that Jerusalem is the eternal undivided capital of the Jewish people and the Jewish state.
I'll go back to Koenig's outline here, January 28th, stating the eternal debt of gratitude for the plan. President shares the new map outlined at 1:26 p.m., January 28th. At 2:20, same day, 7.7 earthquake off of Jamaica that rattles parts of Florida, January 29th. One day later, the White House announces the formation of a coronavirus task force. February 1st, public health emergency declared. Is there a connection? Don't know, folks. It's something to think about. If I could just add my two cents here, and I believe the timing and the outline that's been presented here in the last couple of minutes is something to give serious thought to, but also to give serious thought to that what's going on could be God giving at least the church a final warning that the hour is late. And millions of unbelievers, as I said in the first program, are now asking what all of this current chaos means. They've never had ears to hear before. I even read an email last week from somebody who had been witnessing to someone who blew him off, and suddenly that same gentleman knocked on his door with panic on his face. What is going on? Tell me. Tell me what your Bible has to say. They have had only an interest in furthering their pleasure agenda or attaining vast wealth, some of which has been lost. That's what the world's been focusing on. And I said earlier, God always warns before he judges. I believe this is a warning to wake up, a warning to a sleeping church to wake up. Time is very short. Jesus is coming. He could come today.
Can I just say, Jan, that we know every time that we do this show, you are monitored by Soros organizations like Right Wing Watch and other organizations.
They'll be quoting us.
They'll be quoted, and they will want to say that you and I just said that Donald Trump caused the coronavirus. We are not saying Donald Trump caused the coronavirus. They will twist whatever it is that we're saying to create controversy. We are not creating controversy. We are trying to explain what the Bible is saying about the times that we live in and how nations and national leaders are supposed to act. And we're trying to interpret the current events through the lens of the Bible. That's what we're doing. We are not blaming him. We are not trying to be political. That is not what we are doing at all, because there is no president who has ever done more to bless Israel or bless the Jewish people. For heaven's sakes, he is the one person in the world in all of human history who recognized that Jerusalem is Israel's eternal capital. I was there that day when the designation happened and when the U.S. Embassy was opened in Jerusalem. Yeah. I wept throughout the whole process. No one can say that Donald Trump has not been a friend and has acted biblically toward Israel and the Jewish people. Certainly he has. It's absolutely amazing what he has done. The media is not going to be able to twist our comments, though they try. We're calling out the media in advance because we know what they are capable of. We just want the body of Christ to not be ignorant, to be informed of what the Scripture says, and to take into account the seriousness of the biblical admonitions, but also where the United States is at. We're in a position of blessing Israel, not cursing.
We're the generation, Michelle, that has seen the fig tree blossom. That's stunning to even be a part of that. Why us? But because we're a part of that generation to see the fig tree blossom, there are probably some consequences to that, too.
And what did Ezekiel say? He said the Jewish people would return to the land. They did, and they are. That was 1948. And that also Jerusalem would come back, this is a separate event, into the hands of the Jewish people. It was a separate event. It was 1967. You and I have been alive during the times that Ezekiel foretold. So we are alive today to see the fulfillment of Scripture, and we are alive at this moment when even more of the Scripture has been fulfilled about the very time, the very moment of his return.
Absolutely. See, folks, it's a privilege and a challenge to be born for such a time as this. I think that's basically what we're saying. What a privilege to be able to see these things. Again, as Michelle said earlier, the prophets of old longed to see the times that we're living in, but they're tough times. They're not easy. My goodness, did you ever think you'd be a part of a generation to see a global pandemic? And I said going into program number one, again, folks, you can access that on my website. You can get that on our YouTube channel. You can watch it on hischannel.com, oneplace.com. That's how you access all former programming. God doesn't shake the entire globe very often. He did during the time of Noah. He did at the Tower of Babel. There was a terrible plague in the 1300s. There was a pandemic in 1918. We've had two world wars take a terrible toll. But again, not even 9/11 compares to the staggering consequences of this current pandemic in America and around the world, literally around the world. an unseen enemy, a virus no less, and it's created a fear-driven chaos. And we want to go out of this program. Folks, we don't want you feeling chaotic, and I'm running out of time here. I'm running out of a voice, too. And Michelle has graciously given up 2 weeks. She's been traveling the world. She's given up 2 weeks to bring you some inside information on the situation, not just in America, but around the world, as the entire world right now is laboring. What I would like to do is I just want to go out of the program encouraging you folks to be encouragers. Encourage as many people as you can this week. People are losing things they value, jobs, businesses, even loved ones. And some may feel that their entire future is in jeopardy, and maybe it is. I don't know. God has a purpose for everything that happens. But God's faithfulness is never in doubt. He holds you in the palm of his hand. As the storm rages, he's there. If he doesn't calm the storm, he wants to calm your heart. Nothing happens by accident. No, rather, everything is happening because, how many times do you hear it on this program? Everything's falling into place. So turn your life over to Jesus Christ today while there is still time. We are learning that life can suddenly be cut short. Don't put it off. Please repent of your sins. Turn and make Jesus Christ Lord of your life today. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Remember, all gifts to Olive Tree Ministries are tax deductible. You can also text to give. See our website. We get mail by writing to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. The Bible tells us to be anxious about nothing and to pray about everything. God works all things for good, and remember that everything is falling into place.